Welcome back to Biff, a podcast about superhero TV shows, movies, and Matchbox cars. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined by the rest of my Biff-tastic companions. John Moltz is here. Hi, John.
Hi, Dan. I wish I had brought my Corgi Batmobile down here.
Wow.
To record. That would have been inspirational.
That would have been. I would have liked to see that. But it's an audio podcast, so I can't. Guy English is also here. Hi, Guy.
You are both the favorite tools of my bat belt.
Well, I'm amazed John didn't steal that joke.
I still can.
There's still time. We'll go back and do it again. So why are we here? There's no show. None of the shows we are regularly covering are off the air this week. So this is going to be one of our famous freeform episodes. Infamous?
To be perfectly clear, why are we here is probably a question we should answer every week. Because
every week, yeah.
I don't know.
Every week it's more is like, why are we still here?
Is there a rating system for why we're here?
Yeah.
And the answer is, sir, this is a Wendy's. But one thing we wanted to discuss, late breaking news as we record this episode, Matt Reeves, who is directing the upcoming movie, The Batman.
I thought you were going to lead with the other thing.
Oh my God, was there another thing, John?
No, the other article.
The one about...
The one about Nightwing.
No, that's not late breaking news. Apparently everybody
yeah, really.
Knows that except
that's what
for
I
us.
Thought, yeah. I thought everybody knew that.
We'll come back to that. We'll come back to that. We'll circle around. Okay. We'll consider that. I'm going to put that on the letters page. Matt Reeves, the director of the upcoming movie, The Batman, starring Robert Pattinson, has on his Twitter account posted several pictures of the Batmobile from the upcoming movie. And we'll put a link in the show notes. I have to say, because we talked a little bit, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, about the Batman suit from this movie, and we had some criticisms. There were things about it that we didn't particularly care for, mainly the sort of very military armor-esque nature of it. But I thought, I don't know about you guys, I looked at this picture, I thought, actually, I think that looks super cool.
I think it's pretty good. I think it's pretty strong.
I like it. This shot from behind, I get it looks like it's parked on a street corner. With Batman approaching it to get into the passenger seat, by the way, I should say. That looks pretty cool. I dig it. I'm not sure if I like the overexposed like engine piece, but whatever.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
It's part of the aesthetic of like,
So it looks like, it looks like a muscle car, right? Like
a 70s muscle car.
Yeah. Right? Which are, I'm by no means a car guy, but that's my taste in cars. Like that looks cool. I mean, I would not ever buy one or drive one today because, you know, planet Earth. But the look of them is cool. Like, I like the, and they're very visceral. Like, they evoke a Steve McQueen kind of era of things. Although that was probably earlier, but you know what I mean. Like,
the other thing is, it looks small and fast.
Yes. Yeah. It's not, so the ones that we've seen in like recent movies have all been like tanks, right? Like, and, yeah. And yeah. I mean, you know, Christopher Nolan basically started that off, I think, at least in the movie franchise with the Tumbler.
Yeah.
Which was cool because it was very different from everything that had come before it.
I really, really liked it. I liked the idea behind it. I liked that it was repurposed military equipment that was too expensive. I didn't like the fact that it was made to make bridges, but I get it because you got to explain the jumping thing at some point.
They needed it to jump later. So it had to explain that ability up front. Which is, you know, Chekhov's Batmobile, but that's fine.
Exactly. But that Batmobile was not going to jump any river worth noting. Like, anyway, but like, there's easier ways to get a bridge over a river than building a bunch of these. There really is. Like,
if you're going to mention that Batmobile, you have to mention the scene where they drive it around and then he's you know, it's like he's buying a new car.
Yes. Yeah.
And Fox says, "What do you think? Does it come in black?
Yeah, I love that. There was so much we did a review of Batman on The Incomparable, and I called it a near perfect movie, and I honestly believe that.
I love
for
that
me
movie.
The bat yeah it's probably my favorite of all of them. The Batmobile to me doesn't call to me. Like when it's flying around on rooftops and stuff, it doesn't that's not an element of Batman that I particularly enjoy, although I recognize it as like a massive part of the character that many, many people get a lot out of. Mm-hmm. To me, it just feels a little alien to the character.
Right, right. I was going to say...
This feels a little closer. Sorry, Dan.
No, I was going to say the I feel like so much took away from that that aesthetic, the Nolan aesthetic, right? Like, I mean, I think, Guy, you two have played some of the Arkham games.
Yes.
And the third one, Arkham Knight, does have the Batmobile is kind of a major part of that. And it very heavily borrows from the Nolan approach. Like, essentially,
oh, it's 100% like, tank. You're like firing rockets, and And that game got a lot of. I still like that game, but those elements of that game I did not like, and that game got knocked for that.
Yes.
I think.
Yep, I agree, and and rightfully so, I would say, in a lot of points.
Yeah, I mean, to each their own. If you like it, that's cool, but just not to my taste, and apparently not to yours, Dan. Do you ever play those games, John?
I've played a little bit. Hank, my son, played them. I can't remember if he played the third one. He definitely played the first two, and definitely enjoyed them. And so I played just a little bit and watched him play probably a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Those are great games, though. I mean, for me, this is getting a little off the Batmobile topic, but the combat mechanics in that game, like if you ever wanted a game where it's like, I feel like Batman, right? Like where 30 thugs are attacking you and you're just like moving. If you get good at it, like the point where you can just sort of like counter people and like flip around them and like do all sorts of crazy combinations, like that was really inventive and it felt very Batman-like.
It was wonderful, and it was a lot of it was sort of rhythm based, like everything was timed out, so that if you got into a flow and you just kept going with it, you would keep being rewarded by higher and higher beat 'em up counts.
Right, and then you could like interchange it with like the gadgets and all that stuff, or like hide. Yeah. And then there were different modes where you could like hide up, and, like you know, and sort of be the predator, as it were, where it's like you know you drop down silently and then like string the guys up. Where like it very much felt like a great Batman simulator. As with any game franchise, the longer it went on, they felt like they needed to add more and more and more, and it started to get a little bit
right. And the Batmobile felt like an obvious addition. Right. I actually, it's years after now. Some of the assets for that game and some of this stuff were developed in Montreal, and like a good friend of mine from the games business worked on it, and he was describing the early Batmobile mechanics. This is before it shipped, and he was like, this thing is insane. Like, you basically can't turn a corner without smashing into like eight different things, and it's just bananas.
it was difficult to steer at times.
It didn't have the 1989?
Like the grappling?
Every time it had to go around a corner, it had to use a grappling hook because it was so low to the ground.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And just let me be clear, part of the game design process is everything is broken most of the time. Mm-hmm. Don't like this is not a slight on the development team or anything about the production of that game or anything like that, just that like adding that particular mode of transport at a speed that made it make sense and interesting and fun into that environment that was made for like slinging around with a little grappling gun was difficult to make fun and interesting. That's what I'm saying.
So it's interesting for me then to look at the evolution, right, of the Batmobile, because obviously it's existed in all these different forms. I mean, I think the first one, in my mind, the first two ones that I am cognizant of are the 1966 Batman series Batmobile, which I actually think this looks closer to.
Yeah.
The new one looks closer to that than like any other Batmobile in the last 40 years or so.
It sort of has fins.
Right, exactly. It's not quite as cartoony. You know, it doesn't have like the two separate bubbles or whatever. But it looks like a car rather than like a tank.
Yeah.
You guys have...
Yeah, and I it's nice that they change it. I liked the Tumbler, but I like this as well. And I think this definitely fits. So I don't know exactly what the premise of this movie is going to be, but if it's like... his early days, this seems like this is a good early car for him. You know, maybe he bought a regular car and he had somebody fix it up as opposed to
having
an inside track on a bunch of military gear.
Yeah, which
yeah.
Is,
so go ahead, Dan.
I was just gonna say that's why the engine setup to me kind of works. Is it looks like let's bolt on a engine that is like way too much engine for this car, actually. But
yeah, he bought like a really great like track car, probably armored up a little bit, and then compensated with this giant rocket booster on the back, which is cool.
Yeah.
So last time we talked about his armored uniform, which I think we all agreed feels too big and bulky. Like I'd like to see them slim that down again.
Right.
This is to the previous Batmobiles what I would like to see them do with his armor. If
right.
that makes sense.
Right. Right. But, you know, exactly. It's the aesthetic.
Right. Yeah. Which I dig, and so I'm all for it. I think I'm more into this Batmobile than his armor.
I definitely am. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's have the movie be about this Batmobile.
Yeah.
That's a real missed opportunity there.
Yeah. Well, you never know. They could just repurpose it to be like a Knight Rider reboot or something.
Sure.
You never know.
Mm-hmm. What if Alfred is not a real person, but is just the voice of the car?
I think that's called Jarvis, and I think we've seen that movie. Yeah. We've seen that movie, and bring it back. 2008 was a great year for Iron Man and Batman movies. It was pretty good.
Sure.
Yeah.
And sassy robots.
Yeah, in fact, just bring back 2008.
It's always a good time for sassy
robots. If you could just reset to 2008, I think things would be a lot better.
Yeah, a lot of things.
In general.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. I was going to say...
Like 11 minutes in, there we are.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was going to say the other Batmobile that stands out in my memory is the Batman the Animated Series Batmobile, which itself was, again, inspired by the Burton movie, I'm sure, because of that era, but also felt it had that nice Art Deco touch to it because of the whole aesthetic of that show. So it was like not quite as curvy as the Burton one, but had the same
It had fins in the back.
Yeah, it had fins, and it was pretty, long.
And I believe like a rocket.
It did have a rocket. I mean, they all do. I mean, even the 1966 one does, I believe.
That's true. Yeah.
I think that's the canonical thing that one must have in a Batmobile is some kind of rocket booster. Like, beyond that, you're kind of free to sort of interpret as you will.
Should be black as well.
Yeah, or like a dark navy blue, but ideally black. Yeah. But they should not be yellow, that's for sure.
No, see, that's the thing.
They really need to go back to the earliest one, which I just sent you a picture of, which has like a bat head on the front.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That's, I remember that too, that panel. I think the first bat thing that he ever flew around with was basically was it a biplane? It was some kind of plane, and he flew around, and he just shot people from it, like flat out with a gun, murdered people.
Bring back that Batman.
What was the cartoon? What was the cartoon superhero? Like it was a cat? I'm just like looking at this Batmobile, which I've seen before, but there was a cartoon of some animal that was basically Batman.
Cartoon,
and in the front of it was the front of his car was like a cat face.
Oh.
Remember that?
Are you thinking Darkwing Duck?
No.
He had a motorcycle, by the way, not a.
Yeah, I know, but I'm reaching here.
I'll look it up.
That sounds like a plan. Yeah, I was just looking up all the various different Batmobiles of different eras, and it does. Yeah, there have been a number of them. I will say, apparently, there is. I don't know where this is from, but there is also a version. From fairly recently, like 2017, that has that same sort of they've mix and matched the tank with the classic bat face or whatever it is. On the front there. That is a bold look.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on.
There's a lot, maybe too much, too much.
Matt, you know you're just doing work for yourself because these deserve to be in the.
Put them in the show. I'll put links in the show notes.
Yeah. Because that is definitely tank meets 1989 Batmobile kind of thing. that's pretty tough. And I think the first tank iteration came from Dark Knight Returns when he
that makes sense. I mean a lot of the aesthetic of the recent years seems like it builds from that, and that's frustrating because like it's one very specific interpretation of Batman, and for some reason that has decided to resonate, which is a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah, and it's not even, I would like a little bit more year one Batman, which we did get in Batman Begins, which is maybe why I liked it. But just like the cobbled together crappiness of some of the stuff that he has that he deals with is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, and
although Batman Begins borrowed heavily from year one,
so. Right? And I think this is intended to. I think as we discussed last week, this is intended to build from the year zero, which was a later, zero year, I guess, was a later miniseries that deals with early Batman. I don't know.
Seems like it must be. I mean, they did year one.
I was not familiar with it. Seemed like. But. Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's intended. Okay, so it was in the New 52 when they rebooted. It's a new origin story, essentially. That's like a different origin story from year one. Anyways, I don't know. Who knows how much they'll stick to it.
The show that I was thinking of was Courageous Cat and Minute Mouse.
Oh, there we go. Oh,
I've
my God.
I've literally never heard of this.
I have. I have. And yeah, that's, man, I love it when you reach back in time to blow our minds, John.
That was like digging out of the... basement of my
that's
brain.
Like wow. That's way back. I think I watched that in England, so that was like
that was very early on
at oldest, like seven, so wow,
damn.
Dan has never seen this.
Nope.
No, I know, it's blowing his mind. It's but you can tell, like, look at the beautifully painted backdrop.
This is from 1960.
Yeah, look how beautifully the backdrop is painted.
The characters are created by Bob Kane as a spoof of his earlier creations, Batman and Robin.
Oh, okay. Interesting. All right.
Did not know that.
Really just milking that one, huh?
Yeah, really. Yeah. It's a little bit of a one trick pony.
Guys, I've got a new great idea. It's Catman.
I don't know. If you want to make fun of the success of your own thing in what, 63?
It's 1960.
1960. Okay.
That's when it started, yeah.
I still think that's fine. If you're going to make fun of the success of your own thing from what, 1939? Oh, 20 years ago, man, I made Batman.
130 episodes.
Wow, that is a lot.
130, well, they're 5 minutes, but 130 episodes between 1960 and 1962.
I was going to say, that is a lot of episodes for me never to have heard of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could probably find them at your local Beta video store.
I don't think it's worth it.
No. No. I don't remember anything about the show other than the look of it. Which,
yeah, that's right. Yeah. And that Batmobile. That's the, like I said, that's the thing that I remembered the most. Yeah. Or Catmobile, whatever it is. I believe it also turned into a plane.
Well, sure. I mean, why would you build one that's just a car? Of course it would. That's ridiculous.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. That seems like leaving money on the table.
Speaking of, man, I hated it in The Dark Knight when they blew the crap out of the Batmobile and he ejected into a motorbike.
Yeah, I didn't like that either. But.
That's just dumb. It's dumb because they grounded that thing in being like, look, this is a military vehicle. It's got a purpose and here it is. Paint it black and go nuts. That's cool. They don't make military vehicles that eject out crazy motorbikes. They just don't do it.
That's the second part of building the bridge, guys. Come on.
If you know a better way of building a bridge than having a motorcycle, I'd like to
having
hear
a
it.
Crazy tumbler motorcycle version is like, no. I mean,
it was good. It was good, however, when he gave the motorcycle to Catwoman.
So I don't mind the motorcycle. I like the motorcycle. I like the way it moved. I like the way it looked. I like all of the shots behind it. I like the showdown with the Joker. I liked all of it. All of the thing about the motorcycle, except how it got birthed from the husk of the Batmobile.
Yep.
And it was like, okay, now we need to give him another thing because we just blew up the old thing. So how do we do that? What if? What if we do like 8 lines of coke and then just throw the laziest ideas out the room and just go with them? I'm not saying they did coke, but that is definitely a cokehead moment. Like, come on.
Fair.
I can't believe on this show where we've talked about kidnapping, executives of certain
shows. Yeah, I don't know why I'm walking that back. Yeah,
I'm concerned about possibly insinuating that they might have done cocaine
while making a movie. Yeah, that's wild. I know. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm trying to be a kinder, gentler person these days.
How's that working out for you?
I haven't skinned a man alive in like 3 weeks.
It's tough quitting cold turkey. I know.
20 minutes. Exactly.
It is. Every now and then I'm like, look, can I just skin your arm? Please. You know?
I'll put it right back.
I'll put it right back.
Oh man. Yeah, so Batmobiles. Yes, check.
Yeah, so my corgi version of the 1966 Batmobile is pretty cool. It shoots... I mean, the little things that it shoots out of the back, like the three things on the back of the trunk, are long gone. But it shot little missiles out of that thing. What did the front did? Oh, the front, like a little like rotating like a bandsaw, no, a circular saw came out of it, because I think that was in an episode at some point.
Right. I had something.
I think
else
Robin's gone, but I still have Batman.
You got it. You've got the important parts. No one cares if Robin's
yeah.
gone.
If you had
Sorry.
Robin, I don't think that would be.
Yeah, I think I don't know what to think about this movie either. We talked about it a little bit last week. I feel like Batman could sit fallow for a few years is my feeling. I feel like maybe we've been over Batman. I think it's one of the smart things the MCU has done is when it finished, you know, with Endgame, it feels like they took a nice like break.
they didn't immediately reboot Iron Man.
Right. I mean, and this is not quite fair because obviously they follow, you know, the Spider-Man movie opened like 2 months after it, and then we're gonna get another Marvel movie like 2 months from now. So it's not like it was, you know, they took a year off, right? Like maybe. So it's not like it was a huge long break, but you know, to your point, it's not like we've gone right back into resetting everything and making, you know, new versions of all those characters. But Batman, when all you, it feels a little bit like, and we picked on the DC universe, I think a lot, but like, it feels like when all you've got going for you is Batman, everything looks like a bat hammer.
It's not true. They got Wonder Woman.
That's true. They do have Wonder Woman, which arguably has been doing better than Batman.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, certainly in terms of quality, and the new trailer looks good. I still haven't seen Birds of Prey, but I hear it's good. And I think, John, you'd seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. I did enjoy it. And like I said, my only problem was like after, like, probably about 3/4 of the way through, I was like, this is good. I just realized I don't care that much about these characters. But
yeah. Yeah.
I did see a report, and I have no idea if this is true or not, but I will mention it in because it's something to talk about. That there was the possibility that Henry Cavill might reprise his Superman role in the Shazam sequel.
That'd be cool. I mean, honestly, is he funny? I think I've seen him be funny.
Cavill? Yeah, I think he's a better Superman than those movies have given him an opportunity to be.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was great, really. I mean, I think he was solid.
Yeah, he was fine. And so was, oh my God, what's his name? Our best friend.
Ben Affleck?
No.
I actually thought he was good too.
No, he's not. No, that guy.
I think he's fine.
That guy partied in Montreal one too many times. He's not my best friend for sure. That's a weird oblique reference to some stuff from years ago. The other Superman, not Christopher Reeves, our guy that's on this show that we watch
Brandon
all the time.
Ralph, Brandon Routh.
Thank you. Brandon Routh. Thank you. Sorry, I totally blanked. I had to context switch there and it was not catching up with me. I think he was amazing. I honestly think we should watch Superman Returns for one of these episodes where we have to fill in some time.
Well, I was going to make a joke about, have you guys seen Shazam or no?
Yes.
I have not, but I've heard it's funny enough. And I like Zach
Snyder. Not Snyder.
Galifianakis.
No.
It's not Snyder.
Levi.
It's not Galifianakis.
Levi.
Levi. Zachary. Zachary Levi. That's it. Yeah.
We're terrible people. I'm amazed anybody listens to this show.
No, we're not.
Snyder Levi.
No, we're not. We're just screwing up names of really famous people and accusing random people of random debauchery, so it's fine.
But what I was gonna say what I was gonna say was, if you remember the end of that movie, John.
Yes, I do.
Yes, so there is a Superman joke at the end of that movie implying that they, you know, do at least exist in the same universe,
right?
So, you know, not out of the question, but I don't know.
Yeah
I don't know.
I'd like that. I really would, because those two characters are Shazam is to Superman as Superman is to Batman, I guess, in a way. Whoa. In that, like,
something like
that. I think I had that on my SAT as one of those.
they're a gradient from
I wrote in Courageous Cat.
It's I'm trying to make a very serious academic point here.
Very serious academic point. Okay.
Would you at least hear my thesis and paper out? Come on. God, I got a PhD on this theory, and you guys can't even just give me 5 minutes on it. They're a gradient between, you know, ultimately Batman doesn't kill anybody, you know, ideally. Superman doesn't, and Shazam doesn't, but they're gradiated on, like, how far they'll go in terms of what their emotional anger and what their sort of world weariness drives them to. Shazam mm-hmm. is a child. Superman right. is a goofy grown-up Boy Scout, and Batman is, I don't know, Rambo. You know,
he's a disturbed individual.
He's a disturbed therapy. Individual with a code that won't actually let him kill anybody. Again, ideally. So, like that's where I'm trying to make that weird gradient of. And so, having Superman show up in a Shazam movie, I think that's fun. Not that I expect him to be the bad guy, but I expect him to be like, "Whoa, kid, you know." Nice work, but maybe next time don't buy the bad guy cotton candy or something. Like there's an interesting interaction there. There's a mentorship possibility there that I think would be fun to explore.
Yeah.
Like an attaboy attitude, an attaboy and roughing his hair up kind of attitude.
There's also the thing where, and you know, they've done this in the comic books a number of times, is that since he's a kid, he can get fooled easily.
Right.
And, you know, do the wrong thing for the right reason.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, which also unfortunately happens to Clark all the time, too.
That's, yeah, also true. Also yeah. true, yes.
Yeah.
But there's, I mean, I think it's a little bit, maybe a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, he's common not, with Shazam, not, but, not quite as much of a goof, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, if I were Shazam and looking at role models, I really hope that, you know, you go with the Superman over the Batman.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely. I even think that, and here's where I delve deep into the mind of Bruce Wayne. We're tight friends. I even think I could see a panel or whatever movie where Bruce is like, "No, you do not want me because
yeah,
with what you could do and with what I tell you, no good can come of that. Like, just don't. Go talk to the Boy Scout. He's a way better role model. Like, you know, I'm like, just go right up to the line because I kind of need to because I've got nothing else. You should probably play way back in the field. Just, you know,
mm-hmm.
try not to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
Take it easy. Think it over like five times.
He should be rescuing cats is what he should be doing.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that the other day as like the Superman angle, that part. It needs to be more cat rescuing in Superman movies. Less punching. More cat.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, I think
certainly in the current, yeah, in the current set of DC movies.
Yeah, I think, Mullis, that's your strongest thesis statement yet on this
yeah.
show that we've had is, yeah, we need superheroes to save people.
Right.
It's sort of atrocious that they don't, to be honest.
I mean, yeah. yeah. Like, have you been out you there? Know, have you been out
that's
there,
part
guys?
Of, that's part of the whole premise, too, of why Bruce hates Clark. Because he was carelessly having a big punch-out fight in the middle of Metropolis and knocking buildings right. down and killing right. people.
Which is a very, very valid reason to be like, look, this alien's got to go. Like, not necessarily yeah, kill right, him, but like, right. guess what? You just trash a whole city and like thousands.
Yeah, I think it was
minimum
just,
died.
It all hangs together. I think the biggest issue with it is like, as we've discussed, I think like it's not a Superman take that I feel like anybody was crying out for. Like, what if Superman? But he's kind of a dick, even by accident, right? Like, I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they could have done better. I appreciate the skeleton of the conflict that they set up, and that's basically as far as that goes.
I kind of feel like that story is even more interesting with, like, non-established characters, right? Like, I feel like that's an interesting superhero story to tell.
Sure.
But you wouldn't have to hitch it to pre-existing IP, but, like, that's just not how movies get made.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so, you know, they, yeah.
I mean, if they'd done Aquaman, trashing Metropolis.
With water? What's the movie with Will Smith?
Hancock.
Hancock. Oh, Hancock. Yeah. That is a good movie.
That's a good movie.
Good-ish. I don't want to vet it right now, but I remember liking it. So
I've never actually seen that one.
It's good. Oh,
you should
watch it.
You should watch that. Okay. I mean, if you know, if you know, you're asking about movies about superheroes that are not based on existing properties.
Sure.
Or, actually, I don't know. Is Hancock like a comic book?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know. But I mean, he's certainly not one of the big.
No. Yeah. Whatever, right. He's not. You
know. Yeah. But effectively, he's. I mean, he's basically Superman, but he's kind of down and out and like a bit of a, well, he's a total drunk. And he saves stuff, but always in the most destructive, crappy way.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's sort of like the movie's arc is him coming to grips with that, and he struggles with it. And ultimately, he's Will Smith, so he's inherently a good guy. Like, we all know Will Smith is ultimately going to be a good guy. And, sort of overcomes his problems and fights. I forget who the villain is, but she's pretty good too.
Maybe we should do that for our member special like episode.
That's a good idea. I would really enjoy watching that movie again. Yeah. Okay. So homework, readers, watch Hancock, which I know what you signed up.
We keep handing out homework that we don't then do.
The teachers never do the homework.
The teachers never do the homework. I don't know what to tell you.
That's the whole perk of being a teacher,
though.
Nah. Yeah.
You already know more than everyone, right?
I'm pretty sure we can just be our. Yeah, we'll just be our way through this one. It's fine.
I mean, Guy and I have already seen it, so you know we could probably.
Yeah, but I can't remember any details. I want to go rewatch that movie. I think it's good, and I think it's interesting, and I think it's sort of pertinent to the show in some ways. In that it's
weird. It's, I mean, it's definitely a superhero.
It's kind of funny.
So you know, we talk about Star Trek all the time, and that's not superheroes.
That's true.
Not yet. I'm still trying to work it in.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm waiting.
You're not there yet.
Any other things you want to talk about before we go to our quote unquote letter?
Yeah, I think my favorite gadget on the Bat utility belt is his phaser pistol.
I'm suspicious. For me, maybe. It's Bat Shark repellent.
That's true.
Am I misremembering, but were those labeled on the utility belt in the 1966 show? And that they just had like and the labels, you'd never see them from a distance. They only showed them when they were close up.
There was like,
I don't know,
when he took the stuff off, wasn't it like, didn't it have a label when he like took it off?
Yeah, but I don't think the pockets were labeled.
Okay.
Wasn't there a Twitter account that was just like Batman labels?
Yeah, it was all the, but that was like the computer. Yeah. Well, yeah, no, it was just labels, wasn't it? It was any labels.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Batman.
Yeah, and Bat labels. I don't recall ever seeing. I don't know what happened to that Twitter account, but it's awesome. I don't recall ever seeing.
Run
one
out of them eventually, but
yeah, probably.
I think I actually believe it's the same guy who was behind that and the Swear Trek account.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe
Aaron.
It is.
Aaron, something like that. Anyway, yeah. I mean, he's Canadian, so. He's cool.
There is a I did find a infographic online that has all the gadgets.
Oh really?
Yeah, which is pretty good.
I think I've seen I feel like I've seen
it
that
was
before.
It used to be available as a poster.
Yep.
Long sold out, it appears.
Yeah. The shield was the one I always liked.
Bat shield.
Like he pulled out this
I'm not
gigantic,
even joking. See,
gigantic
what,
bat shield out of
he does have a laser
tiny
gun.
Little utility
he does
belt.
Have a laser
I was just
gun,
see, I'm telling you, laser gun is actually the phaser pistol.
Mm-hmm.
I told you.
It's hard. I guess it's hard
it's like,
to
how do you
that?
Not use that more often?
Right?
Also, he has multiple communicators too, which I like.
Going back to of course he's got multiple communicators. Going back, and I don't want to dwell on this, but to Dark Knight Returns, one of my favorite weird Batman gadgets was when he was on the top of one tower and he had a rifle with a grappling gun to get to the other tower, and he used it, and I thought that was cool. And that like the distance would exceed the ability of his regular grappling pistol thing to do it. So he
had a rifle.
He had a rifle with him to do it, and like, because he'd planned it all out and he thought about it, and I appreciated that. Batman planning heists for me is I love that. I want Batman to be doing heists against bad guys, basically Omar. except, you know, maybe less shooting people.
That's fair. That's fair. I'll allow it. All right. We are going to, I guess, it's not really a letter. I'm treating it like a letter, but we were requested to discuss some background, some context. Some of you may listen to the member-only stream of the Total Party Kill campaign that I'm currently playing in, the Dog and Pony Show. And on last night's episode, I was taken to task outside of the game for not knowing which comic book character canonically has the best butt. And then Tony Sindelar, our friend and compatriot, basically made me play 20 questions to figure out which superhero character it was, which ended in revealing that it was Nightwing, apparently canonically has.
Oh man. All my money was on Katie Lotz.
She is not a character. She's an actual person.
Actor.
Yeah.
But I think what was interesting about the discussion that came out of this, and then the he sent an article around that was talking about it, was they very much draw Nightwing like most female comic characters are portrayed, like down to the stance and the poses. Like he has that pose where it's like standing with his back with his like head turned, which I think is. I think it's great, actually. I think it's amazing. I think they should do that more.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about that. I'm a Nightwing fan. I had never really considered his posterior, I gotta be honest. I feel like my comic knowledge exceeds my butt knowledge.
And now you can't stop looking at it.
I know, it's hypnotic, frankly.
That's, yeah.
I don't know when it was. It was a couple of years ago. Again, I was playing one of those Arkham games, and I like, for some reason, my Batman was standing on the top of some tall building and his cape was blowing in the breeze, and I got a good look at his butt, and I took a screenshot and I posted it to Instagram because that was a great looking butt. Still,
well, these guys work out a lot. I mean, they got a great look.
You gotta I mean, Dick Grayson is, as he points out, like a gymnast and an acrobat, right? Like,
yeah
really,
he's in good shape, man. Nothing to be ashamed of.
I think here's the interesting thing about this. I mean, besides butts, who, you know, everybody loves a butt.
Which are very interesting.
Sure. Is that I didn't realize that there was a pattern of drawing Nightwing in poses that were typically reserved for female characters. And I think that's, if that's true, that seems submersive because... I mean, that can't be
subversive.
A directive.
Subversive.
Submersive. I'm drowning.
That's how they're drowning in butts at this point.
You draw
Namor submersively.
Yeah, the submersible. I think it's okay. I think it's a bit submersive in that.
I hate you so much.
In that. If, I mean, that's clearly not a directive, right? And if that's just something that people have started doing, and
it's just a thing the artists have decided to do,
right? And if other artists pick it up and just give nods to each other, like, okay, this is the way we draw this character, I think that's really cool. I don't know. I did not expect when I woke up this morning to be spending this much time talking about fictional butts.
Yeah,
but you know. Here we are.
Here we are. Yeah.
Yeah. That's this show. So I should have known.
That's
really.
That's not the show. We've lost like 8,000 readers just now.
One of my favorite runs of Batman is actually the one where he is, where Dick Grayson is Batman. And
I haven't read that.
And then Damian.
Damian Wayne.
Damian Wayne, is Robin.
What is his name?
Damian Al Ghul, maybe.
No, it's literally Damian Wayne. I was making fun of the fact you can't remember his last name. Is the name same name?
Well, I didn't know if he would have taken Bruce's name since they. I mean, you know, they weren't exactly. I don't think. Did he marry Talia or?
whoa!
Doesn't matter. It's okay.
I haven't read. You know, honestly, I have not read. My recent Batman knowledge is very limited.
Yeah. Right. But that was, and that was a number of years ago. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like 10, maybe. And it was a good run, at least for a while. And then, cause I think what it ended up running into one of their reboots, maybe the 52 thing. Mm. So maybe it was longer ago than that. And that kind of like destroyed the continuity.
Right.
Cause then all of a sudden, so instead of bringing the arc to it, to like a real conclusion, all of a sudden Batman's back.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's,
and he's in Robin, and you know, Dick Grayson is no longer Batman. He's back to being who he was.
Yeah. And he's back to Robin at one point too. It's so hard to keep track of all the,
did you guys ever enjoy Damian Wayne? I could never sort of get over that.
In that series, I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Just because the dynamic was really good between the two of them, because Dick Grayson is not as damaged as Bruce.
Right. No.
You know, I mean, and so he's sort of, a little bit more cheerful and friendly in his interactions.
That's sort of what I got out of, I mean, believe it or not, Titans. And I watched all of season two, and I felt it was better than season one. But I may have just been subverted into thinking so.
Hmm. Yeah,
and yeah, I keep trying to use that word just to get Dan mad. But I'm just trying to it into sentences.
Just,
now.
At this point, he's just bleeping you. He's just marking time.
Timestamps
so that he can just bleep you.
Yeah, I know. He could just drop my entire audio track. but no, I do think so. And that's kind of why I find the Dick Grayson character more interesting. The Damian Wayne character is undoes a bit of that, right? It goes back to being like, now I'm super damaged and I'm an angry young boy. And
right.
While there is some interest in that, in terms of like, okay, how does Bruce deal with somebody who is basically as angry as he was when he was that young. I don't know. It gets a little, I don't find a lot of glee and fun in just, at least from my perspective of the character, like just having a bunch of swords and stabbing people with them. That's not really what I'm particularly into. From a comic book character in general, and a sort of a Robin in particular.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. I never read enough of the recent runs of Batman to be exposed to him as a character at all. I know of him, but I don't know the character. So, I don't really have a lot of feelings about him one way or the other.
Yeah. I mean, in general, I don't think I would like that. But I think in that series, having somebody else be Batman who is a little bit more lighthearted, and then having this Robin who is this little demon child was actually pretty good.
That, so I completely believe that. And again, I must have said this 100 times. A character like Captain America, I inherently find a little bit distasteful, just for the jingoistic aspects of it. Same with Captain Britain, by the way, and I can't remember the Canadian one. That's how patriotic Canadians are.
You got a couple. There's Captain Maple, right? Yeah. Or is it Captain Maple Leaf?
I think his name is,
I don't even want to know.
I was just joking about Captain. I don't know.
There is a Captain Maple Leaf.
Guardian has like a red and white costume, and one, and part, too, right? Part of it looks like a maple leaf. So thank you guys for conflating them.
Or Major,
anyway,
Major
guess what?
Maple.
Oh, God.
I'm going to find this guy. Major Maple.
Captain
Leaf.
Canuck. That's okay. That is real.
Anyway.
Yeah,
that's
no.
Real.
So Major Maple Leaf was, I don't know if he was a real guy longer ago, but then he was in the, like, a reboot of Alpha Flight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my favorite Canadian is Puck. So,
well, yeah, there's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was I trying to say? Yeah. So Captain America, very difficult to write because he's a bit of a goody two shoes. Same thing with Superman, that kind of thing. That doesn't mean that I don't think he can tell good stories with these characters. And I think, at least in the case of Captain America, they have in the MCU at least, and in comic runs too. So if you tell me Damian Wayne works in this, I will totally believe it. I just think it's a higher bar to clear with that character than I'm sort of willing to accept without having been it, without having had it recommended by a friend. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Seems really angry and small and like stabby. That's not my thing. Okay, John tells me that he's like actually works really well. Fine, I'll go. I'm happy to go read that. I mean, the same thing if you tell me like Captain America is like, oh my God, look, he just fights for truth, justice, the American way. He's got a shield, and isn't that awesome that he's got a shield rather than a sword, and that's cool. And it's and like, yeah, okay. But it seems a little born out of the 1940s, I think literally 1941.
Well, yeah, I mean.
So, okay. But if you tell me it's going to be a good story, I'll go watch. And maybe that's the case here. So that's cool. I don't think there's any bad characters. I just think there are characters that are more difficult to write in nuanced ways than some others.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, and we talked before about how Superman can be boring.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, his default is to be boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same with Cap. That's what I mean. And frankly, mm-hmm. same with stabby young children. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know what helps with any superhero, though, is giving him a great ass.
Right. I was going to say.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's one thing this show has in spades. We're all asses.
That's great. That's asses. Actually true. Great. I don't know if we're great asses. We're big asses. I don't yes. know if we're great.
Way, yeah. All right. And
I'm recording this whole podcast, you know, with my back to the microphone and looking over my shoulder.
Yeah, that makes sense. You are talking out of your ass most of the time. Really bringing it home.
Fun we have.
Yeah, really bringing it home for the kind of content that our listeners and readers demand.
Are we going to rate this show? This is an Alex Jr. An Alex Jr., which is a double whammy.
That is literally the worst. It's yeah. like it's like that time that Barry went back in time and replaced right. John and Lila's kid with a pollster.
Right. Oh my God.
Sorry, the thought of that is just really amusing to me. That
oh my
that
God,
something that would come back like we have our son is now a grown white man. Who's really with a
clipboard.
Boring.
He's just genetically got a clipboard attached to his hand. I don't know what's going on with that. Yeah.
Poor guy.
Oh, I watched the most recent episode of The Flash and I enjoyed it. It has deals with Grodd, which is not
it does, yes.
a spoiler yep. due to the title. Did we right. all watch it?
I did watch yep. it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man, why we could have saved us so much trouble.
Well, we're all out of time today.
We don't cover that show on this show, do we?
I know, I know. It would be weird to just jump in, but I really enjoyed that. I thought it was a lot of fun. So
I will say this season has been especially the post-crisis stuff, I feel like has been on the upswing. It has been better.
Yeah, I tend to agree too. Yeah. As much as I liked Bloodwork, and man, what's the name of the actor behind that is?
Sandile Ramamurthy.
I can't get enough of that guy. He is charismatic. He's amazing. I love watching him. I kind of didn't care. So he gets to play that exact kind of guy a lot. So
yeah,
it felt like it fell a little flat. That's all.
Yeah, that's not a, it's not yeah. a great role.
Yeah, it yeah. felt like
not his performance. Just I was like,
no,
I didn't
no,
care.
It's fine. It's just
a lot of that arc felt like it was killing time before Crisis.
Exactly.
Yes. I didn't mind the end of that arc. Actually, I thought was pretty solid because again, it was a problem Barry couldn't win by running really fast.
Yeah, I still haven't seen that. I'm missing those two episodes. They're yeah, like that, a dual double parter, right?
Yeah,
like,
there's a two parter there, yeah. and it. I actually think that's pretty yeah. good, but a lot of the setup okay. felt long and. Overburdened, whereas the back half of the season feels like they're playing around a little more. There's more stuff going on. There's a lot of different threads mm-hmm. happening.
Yeah. I like that he keeps yeah. showing up at places and being like, this is not Crisis. Like,
oh,
like
yeah.
he gets, well, he basically gets hit by a changed. Train because he's like, why was there ever a train here?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Ollie took the gentleman's way out. When Ollie could not have wrapped his mind around this, he would have been like, this does not make
Wait
sense.
Wait a second. I know you. I skinned you alive last year.
Oh, good.
But you got all your skin back. That's great.
That's I'm glad my fighting for the sake of all of the universe has somehow fixed my error in skinning you alive.
Incidentally, I have it on good authority that post-Crisis, there are mm-hmm. 8 seasons of The Next Generation. And that is all we have time for this week.
Do you know what? My secret love is when you drop a reference.
I try to restrain myself. I keep it for only the best references.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I know you can keep up. You can more than keep up.
I know, but I'm also keeping the show on the rails, right?
So I know. I feel like I'm needling you every time I do it because I know you want to join in, but you know, you're professional.
Someone's got to make sure that the podcast runs on time.
Yeah, we do need that sliding door sound though.
Yeah, we're still working on that. Still working.
Really?
Okay. Nope, not at all. It's not a thing that's happening. Not devoting any time or energy to that.
I literally have the CD right here.
Oh yeah, I mean I could do it, John. That's not the point. Yeah. The point, if I may be clear,
is it should be the point.
The point is not doing it.
It's just he won't. He just won't.
It's true. It's
what
true.
A jerk.
I know. I'm a jerk. Well, thank you readers for tuning in this week. We will be back next week to cover the new episode of Legends of Tomorrow, which hopefully should be dropping so that we don't have to subject you to another episode where we talk about random things like Nightwing's butt. But maybe you enjoyed it. I don't know. I would like to thank, as always, the rest of my super friends. John Mulz, thank you for being here.
Nightwing's butt is not random. It's very deliberate.
Okay. I'll take it. Guy English, always a pleasure.
You could bounce a batarang off that butt.
Oh boy. Readers, thank you for sticking along with us, and we will see you next week.